Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Det här är Teach Me Sweden. Det är en humorpodcast där vi lär varandra svensk historia på grund av att en av oss är född i USA och en lyssnade inte i skolan. Jag heter Erik Broström.
And I'm Jonathan Rollins. And in this episode I will be teaching Eric all about an actor who changed his name and kinda changed the game.
Oh yeah. Och nu snackar vi inte Jack Nicholson.
No. Nej. A little better than that.
Ja, för det är ju svenskt.
Så här. Of course, it's always, always better than that.
Men vi snackar inte Stellan Skarsgård.
No. It's a little better than that. It's like this person, he's alive.
Mm. Det är inte Stellan Skarsgård och Jack Nicholson.
But if he dies, he dies.
Oh, snap! Här kommer det!
Holy!
Snacka om hjärtattack jag fick där alltså. Du skrämde skiten ur mig, Jonathan.
I'm sorry, man.
Det gör inget.
I'm just sitting here.
Är det lugnt? Jag gillar att bli rädd.
I didn't know. I think it's kind of racist if you get that scared. Hmm. Black man just...
Jag hade aldrig tänkt på det på det viset. Det hade varit värre om jag alltid bara blir rädd. Och du är typ såhär, come on.
Being scared is one thing, but throwing your wallet and trying to climb out the window is kind of racist.
Rycker i vixelringen.
There's this joke. It gets used by multiple comedians, but it's like normally a big black guy telling the joke.
Uh-huh.
And I heard one version of it. The guy's like, man, one time I was going on the elevator and I see this old white lady on the elevator, and she sees me and she clutches her purse. I'm just like, the nerve of her to think that she's stronger than me. What the fuck? Took that bitch purse.
Oh, I love it.
That's one of my favorite types of jokes. Is misdirection.
Yeah.
And polite, like confirming stereotypes. I love it.
Det är väldigt kul.
She's stronger than me.
Jag hörde ett, det här är helt orelaterat skämt, men nu kommer jag att tänka på det. På tal om gammal tant och it's a knock-knock joke.
Okay.
So this is me told me this, and I have dad joke humor sometimes, so I like it. Okay, so knock-knock.
Who's there?
Old lady.
Old lady who?
I didn't know you can yodel.
Old lady who?
I love it. Okay, so.
That is the ultimate dad joke, right?
Yeah. Old lady who? But anyhow, let's teach me some Sweden, man.
Yes, those of you that aren't familiar with this podcast, this is a podcast where us two comedian friends teach each other different stories and lessons about Swedish history, and we make up jokes as we go.
Yeah.
I'm going to be teaching Eric this story about a person from Swedish history.
Oh my God.
Let's do it.
Hans Lundgren
was born, you know this person?
No.
Yes, you do.
I don't think I do.
Was born on November 3rd, 1957 in Spånga.
Ah.
Now you know, right?
Yeah. I know everyone in Spånga.
And that's, for those of you that don't know, Spånga is just northwest of Stockholm.
Mm-hmm.
His parents were Sigrid Birgitta Kjerneld, a language teacher.
Okay.
See, back in the 1900s, they had jobs.
Yeah.
And Carl Hugo Johan Lundgren.
Okay.
An engineer and economist for the Swedish government.
Oh, you know.
This guy, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Hans lived in Spånga till the age of 13. And then he moved to his parents' home in Nyland, Ångermanland.
Okej, okay, uppåt va?
I don't know, it just sounds like a place where people change their minds a lot.
Yeah. Ja, norrut.
Ångermanland. Vet inte.
Population 5, 75, 13, 20.
Ångermanland! I can't do the budget!
Make up your mind! Vi kan inte!
Vi Ångermanland! You like dad jokes?
I never heard that. I've never heard anyone make that reference about Ångermanland.
Oh yeah,
that's weird.
I'm full of them.
Yeah, but I'm surprised no one ever.
I was in Gothenburg. I was doing a show, and it's called Svartskalle Stand Up. You know about this?
Yeah,
show
yeah,
I
yeah.
Do for minorities in Sweden, and always ask what the Forrorten towns are,
mm-hmm.
and do like a shout out, like a roll call. All right, who's from here and there?
Yeah.
And there's a in the Gothenburg one, somebody gave me a list, and one is called Backa, and one is called Angered.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, Angered, that's gotta be the hood. It's called, in English, it's angered. It's
yeah, like, yeah, yeah,
yeah. And Backa is a warning to everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't come here, Backa. Backa.
Backa. I'm from angered.
Exactly.
Which one is it?
And people are like, oh my God, they never heard that. Yeah. It's like, just me with this English thinking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As applied
that's
to
that's funny.
And I use that too.
For angered. That's awesome.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to use it every time now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Hans has two sisters and a younger brother.
Mm-hmm.
His father, as you do back then, was physically abusive.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was said to have taken out his frustrations on both Hans and his mother.
Okay.
His father will call him a loser during these times.
Standard.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Standard.
Motivational.
And he considered it motivational. As he got older, he would use it to help him to reach his goals. Like, I'll show you, Dad.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's not that healthy.
No.
He still maintained a love for his father, nonetheless, because that's another part of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
He found admirable things about him. He stated later that as a child, he was probably too much like him. I was probably too much like him.
Like his dad?
Yeah, like my dad. Very okay. Stubborn. And that's what he couldn't deal with.
Uh-huh.
Like, see that, how blaming yourself?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just want to give that little kid, go back and give little Hans a hug.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we all try to rationalize it away as, I don't know, a kid who was abused.
Yeah, självklart. Jag blev kanske inte det, men ändå. Yeah. You know, yeah.
Hans developed a desire to participate in heavy contact sports.
Okay.
Like boxing and karate.
Mm.
Karate.
Not karate, utan
karate.
Karate.
That's probably how he says it.
Yeah.
He credited the volatile father-son dynamic for that as well, like getting into that stuff.
Yeah.
At a young age, he was insecure and suffered from allergies,
mm-hmm.
and which just means he was Swedish.
he was very Swedish.
He was a Swedish young man. Achoo! He also showed a keen interest in drumming.
Ooh.
And wanted to become a rock star.
Oh, my Lord.
But a little bit before that, 7 years old, he tried judo and goyuru, which is, I guess, another martial art. He took up kuyoshin karate at the age of 10 and began lifting weights as a teenager.
Okay.
Yeah. I wrote here, it's like he was training for the big showdown with his dad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll show you. He once said, my dad always told me that if I wanted to make something special with my life, I have to go to America.
Okay. Vad uteslutande. Vad vill du bli? Nej, jag skulle bara vilja jobba på Volvo. You're never gonna
bring the belt!
Yeah. You need to go to America, boy.
If you want to be something, what do you want to work at Volvo forever? You want to be like your poor old man?
Or you want to be the CEO of Volvo forever?
Or do you want to be an economist for the Swedish government like my loser self,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Or do you want to serve hamburgers at McDonald's in America? Like a winner.
Huh? Do it, son. Get out of here. So after graduating from high school with the equivalent of straight A's,
ooh,
good student,
yeah,
he decided to do just that. He spent some time in the U.S. in the 1970s on various academic scholarships,
mm-hmm,
studying chemical engineering.
Really?
At Washington State University and Clemson University.
Okay.
Two big schools. And then he came back to Sweden because he had to do his 1 year military service.
Okay.
He joined the Swedish Coastal Artillery,
mm-hmm,
at the Coastal Ranger School. After serving, he enrolled at the Royal Institute of Technology in Stockholm. This guy's another Swede that likes education.
Yeah.
And he graduated in the early 80s with a degree in chemical engineering.
Who the fuck is this guy? I'm intrigued.
Amidst his years of studying, Lundgren honed his karate skills by training in the dojo.
Oh, yeah.
For 5 years, and he had attained a black belt.
Oh, really?
In Kyokushin.
What is that? Is that a style?
Some type of, yeah, karate.
I got style. A black belt in Kyokushin.
He captained the Swedish Kyokushin karate team.
Okay.
And was a challenger at the 1979 World Open Tournament, arranged by the organization.
Hmm.
He was good.
Okay.
He won the European Championships in 1980 and 1981.
Jesus.
And he also won a full contact karate tournament in Australia in 1982. It's a 3-year run. He's just kicking ass.
What the fuck?
But education kept calling him. So while he was kicking ass in Australia, he graduated with a master's degree in chemical engineering at the University of Sydney. Just like, he also, to make some cash in Sydney, he earned a living as a bouncer in a nightclub in the notorious King's Cross area.
King's Cross?
Mm-hmm.
Is that in Stockholm?
No, it was in Sydney.
No, Sydney, sorry, yeah.
Sydney, Australia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wasn't paying attention.
Okay.
I was thinking about the karate.
Karate in, yeah, Sydney.
Yeah.
So he was, that's when he won the...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So he was living there then.
He was living there.
Yeah.
Finishing school and all that.
Okay,
and,
yeah, cool.
Winning tournaments.
Yeah, because nothing says karate like Australia, mate.
Blimey!
Blimey, kicked me in the head.
Who fought kangaroo? Lundgren was awarded a Fulbright scholarship.
Oh, wait, I know who this is.
To MIT in 1983.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know about MIT. Do you know about MIT?
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Okay. It's the elite of the elite.
Yeah.
One of the highest level schools in America.
Yeah.
And it was.
I don't know him as
Hans.
Yeah, right?
All
right. Oh, my God. It took me forever.
Oh, man, this was a big deal. I didn't give her any real clues.
No. Yeah. But it was such a fascinating person,
yeah,
that I should know who it is.
Yeah, okay.
But, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's, but he got a scholarship to MIT, one of the highest level schools in America, for those that don't know.
Herregud.
And this was a big deal. However, while preparing for the move to Boston to go to MIT,
mm-hmm,
he was spotted in a nightclub in Sydney, Australia.
Yeah.
By Grace Jones.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she hired him as a bodyguard.
Mm.
And then they
became fell in love.
Lovers. he moved with Jones to New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Pussy was that good, huh?
Yeah. Maybe New York City
MIT,
was that good.
Yeah. MIT.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Sydney.
But New York
just
City.
Falling in love, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he dabbled in modeling.
Yeah, he dabbled.
Yeah, at the Zoli agency. But they described him as a bit too tall and muscular for a model size. For
yeah,
him.
Very chiseled face.
He earned a living as a bouncer at the Manhattan nightclub, The Limelight,
mm-hmm,
working with Chaz Palminteri.
Nej.
Yeah.
Vadå, var han också en bouncer? Chaz?
I guess so.
I guess he was this weaker one.
I gotta be. In the daytime, he studied drama at the Warren Robertson Theater Workshop.
Vilket jag fortfarande inte har sett något bevis på. Men,
and it said, he also stated that, my time in New York City opened up my adolescent Swedish eyes
to a multitude of different people and lifestyles, hmm. mostly in the arts. I hung out with Andy Warhol, Keith Haring, Iman, mm-hmm. the famous model, and Steve Rubel. Danced at Studio 54 and studied acting with Andy McDowell and Tom Hulse.
Tom Hulse. Han spelar, last episode, I don't remember if we did it for Patreons or in the official episode, we talked about Amadeus.
Mm-hmm.
That is the guy who plays Mozart in that
okay.
movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, callback.
So friends told him he should be in movies, but he still had this MIT scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to MIT for 2 weeks, and then he quit.
Yeah.
He said, nah, it's not going to work.
Once he got a taste for La La Land.
Yeah. Not yet. Not
no, not
La
yet,
La
though,
Land
but
yet.
The promise is there.
Yeah, probably like seeing his friends like moving up. These are famous people he was hanging out with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just seeing them move up. He said after being exposed to the entertainment business, he found it more attractive and rewarding than chemical engineering.
Well, duh.
So he decided to pursue a career in acting. Hans made his film debut in the 1985 Bond film, A View to Kill.
Just det!
Which was Roger Moore's final film as yeah. Agent 007.
Yeah, about fucking time. Han är typ 60 där. Han, du vet, på riktigt med en 20-åring typ såhär. You mind if we take a little champagne and fuck a bit? Du vet. I'm paraphrasing. Men det är verkligen såhär.
It's like, come
ew.
On. Yeah, stop it, bro. Or just make the Bond girls older.
Or just don't focus that much on sex.
Sex, yeah, that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Well, it's a possibility.
He had a small role of Venz, a KGB assassin.
Just det.
Grace Jones was in that movie.
Större roll.
Mm-hmm. As a villain.
Hon spelar Mayday.
Yep, Mayday, mm-hmm. wow. Mm-hmm.
I know my Bond.
Yeah, she recommended Hans for the role of the villain.
She said, just, gjorde det, var ju lovers.
Yeah, just put him in the movie,
come on. Roligast, det är Christopher Walken som är skurken i den filmen.
Oh shit.
Ja.
Okay, I gotta check that out.
Fantastiskt.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hans found out that Sylvester Stallone was seeking an imposing fighter to play Soviet boxer Ivan Drago
yeah.
in Rocky IV in 1985.
Mm-hmm.
He sent videos and pictures of himself to a distant contact of Stallone. That's how it had to go back in the day. There wasn't no LinkedIn.
No. Yeah. Do you know the guy who knows the guy who knows the guy? Yeah.
So it got to him. He was able to try out for the role, but he got turned down. They said he's too tall.
For Sylvester.
Yeah. He...
he's too tall. I need someone a little bit shorter, you know. Make me look too small. Yeah, he can't be. He's always got to be imposing, but, you know, not too imposing, you know.
Don't make me look like a bitch.
Yeah.
There were 5,000 hopefuls for this spot.
Mm-hmm.
And he eventually, as you know, landed his breakout role opposite Sylvester Stallone, Carl Weathers, and Bridget Nielsen.
Herregud.
To improve his physique and athletic abilities, he trained intensely in bodybuilding and boxing for 5 months before the film was shot.
Mm.
And here's his account of his training regimen.
Okay.
We trained 6 days a week, weights in the morning for about an hour, then boxing in the afternoon. I don't know why I'm talking like this.
Yeah, I like it.
Then
do
boxing
it.
In the afternoon.
Yeah.
We did a split of chest and back one day, then shoulders, legs, and arms the next. We boxed for an hour and a half, practiced the fight choreography, and did bag work and abs. No accent. It was just like weird.
Yeah.
He weighed 240 pounds.
Yeah.
Which is 110 kilos.
Mm-hmm.
Between that and 245, which is 111 kilos during the filming.
Mm.
His character's lines, if he dies, he dies. And I must break you. Are amongst the best known of all Rocky lines,
yeah,
of course, in the series.
And also delivered so well because he studied so much drama.
It's the MIT. He reached back on his 2 weeks of MIT and yeah, leaned on that.
Yeah.
And they've been, he's also in memes and stuff like that, popular yeah, culture. Before the movie came out, Hans had decided to use a family member's name as his stage name.
Yep. Just someone det, för de hade adopterat en delfin.
He's like, I want to be named after Dolph.
The dolphin.
The dolphin. Dolph the dolphin. But just Dolph. We're not going to say Dolph the dolphin.
Not Dolph the dolphin, Lundgren. That would be weird.
That would be stupid.
Yeah, just Dolph. Dolph.
I want to be
named Adolf Lundgren. Are you sure?
I just want to be Adolf.
Yeah. Oh, like Adolf. Oh, not Adolf. Right.
Can you just take Dolph?
I guess.
He seems upset, but I can't tell because he's gone to so much theater school.
Just can't read this guy.
Can't read him at all, man. His face just stays the same.
Yeah.
Dolph hit Stallone so hard during filming of a fight scene that Stallone was in intensive care in the St. John's Hospital for 9 days.
Jesus.
With a blood pressure of 290 due to swelling of the pericardial sac around his heart.
Oh, my God.
A chest blow.
This guy punched me two ways close to the heart.
He hit me in my chest. I was like, you know, we just got a smaller guy.
I didn't want to come back to shooting, though.
But we got a movie to make.
Yeah. And I knew I was winning in the end, you know. And I already filmed where I got beat up. Now it's my turn. I start beating him up. He didn't go into intensive care.
Of course, there was no hard feelings, but Dolph would have to take it easy for the rest of the film, and there were no more injuries.
Oh, okay.
Lundgren has highlighted the premiere of Rocky IV at Westwood Movie Theater as the moment that changed his entire life, remarking, I walked into a Westwood movie theater as Grace Jones' boyfriend, and I walked out 90 minutes later.
Single.
With a younger woman on my arm.
Yeah.
He walked out 90 minutes later as the movie star, yeah, Dolph Lundgren.
Mm.
Or Dolph Lundgren, as we say. I was shell-shocked for years from the mind-boggling and daunting experience of being a student athlete from tiny Sweden, suddenly having to live up to a new action star persona.
Yeah.
And that's when I started fucking bitches like her. No,
yeah.
Now, I don't think he was like, he seemed like a serial monogamous. So how do you follow up Rocky IV?
What, you don't?
Do well.
You? What did he do after that?
In 1987,
mm-hmm,
Lundgren released on home media a workout video called Maximum Potential.
Wow.
This is where I should have found some videos of this stuff, man.
It would be great.
Some clips,
yeah.
Some clips. Maybe I could find clips and put it on Patreon.
Do you want to reach your maximum potential? My name is Dolph Lundgren, and I can show you how to.
I am big and I am strong. I have maximized my potential.
And I can show you how to reach your potential. I have started acting.
You think he did it in a natural voice? You think he did like did an accent? Like, does he do it in Russian voice? You know what I'm saying?
I think he has a Swedish
yeah, probably,
pronunciation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you think he leaned into
yeah,
the Russian?
Yeah, he might have leaned into Dolph thing.
But
into Drago.
It was so long as I saw den. Men han är väl typ bara så här, if he dies, he dies. It's not like, if he dies, he yeah, dies. That was very overdrivet.
Okay, good men, point.
I don't know. I think he just did his best English in that movie.
They didn't care. They just punch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's Russian enough. Go.
He got his first lead role as He-Man in Masters
just
of the Universe.
Det.
Based on a popular children's toy line and cartoon.
Just det. Hade du, jag hade ju massa He-Man-gubbar. Boy, okay, were they homoerotic. Just a bunch of muscle people with no clothes. It's crazy.
He weighed his all-time heaviest. I wrote in here, have you seen Masters of the Universe? And then I wrote, of course not. But you probably saw it.
Yeah, det gjorde jag inte, men jag hade massa He-Man figurer.
I had the toys too.
Yeah.
The film was a critical failure and viewed as far too violent for a family picture.
See, that's why I didn't see it. I don't like violence.
Okay. It's referred to as a flop by Variety magazine and has a 13% rotten rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. He was criticized for being too wooden as a leading man.
No, because he studied drama.
He studied drama. I don't understand what they're talking about.
Missförstådd. Han var före sin generation bara.
In 1988, he starred in Red Scorpion, where he plays a Soviet KGB agent.
Men då gick det väl bättre?
Who sent to an African country to assassinate the leader of an anti-communist rebel movement, but eventually switches sides.
Oh, and he's the lead?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was poorly received and has a 17% Rotten Tomato.
Yeah, poor Dolph.
Mm-hmm. Here's a quote from one of the critics. Mm-hmm. Dolph Lundgren's pectorals are the real stars of Red Scorpion, an action-adventure movie set in the fictional African country of Mombasa. So they're talking about his chest.
Yeah.
He got a nice chest.
Yeah.
He then starred as the Marvel Comics character Frank Castle.
The Punisher.
Punisher.
Right.
In the 1989 film Punisher, the film received mainly negative reviews and currently holds a 24% rotten rating.
Oof.
Christopher Null, the critic, gave the film 1 out of 5, gave it a 1 out of 5, saying that it was marred by cheeseball sets and special effects, lame fight sequences, and some of the worst acting ever to disgrace the screen. But not all critics disliked it. Time Out magazine concluded the film was destructive, reprehensible, and marvelous fun. So it's like, what are you looking for? Yeah.
Right. I mean,
In 1990, he starred in a sci-fi thriller, I Come in Peace, also known as Dark Angel, where he plays a tough Houston cop with an inner sensitivity who does not let the rules of the police procedure prevent him from pursuing his mission to wipe out a gang of drug dealers who killed his partner.
Oh, yeah.
In 91, he was in Cover-Up opposite Louis Gossett Jr., a legendary actor.
Yeah.
He plays a Marine veteran who turns his life... He finds his life in jeopardy after stumbling across a political cover-up. He's in Showdown in Little Tokyo with Brandon Lee. Remember him?
Bruce Lee? Yeah. Who got shot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He got killed on set.
Yeah.
But that got negative reviews, too. He was in a sci-fi film with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Mm-hmm.
Where there are soldiers who died in the Vietnam War and they got reanimated. It's called Universal Soldier.
Oh, just det. Det var ju de två, ja.
And then they made it to the Cannes Film Festival where they...
Why?
Well, some people think they staged a fight. They got into a verbal altercation at Cannes Film Festival when they were there. And it almost turned physical, their altercation. But people think that was fake.
Yeah.
The movie still... made $102 million on a $23 million budget. So it was a profitable hit.
Yeah.
And, but mainstream critics dismissed it as a Terminator 2 ripoff.
Yeah, jag förstår det lite.
Yeah.
Det är väl rimligt.
From 93 to 95, he played in 4 movies, all action movies with familiar plots. He did Joshua Tree, Pentathlon, Men of War, and Johnny Mnemonic with the... Keanu Reeves.
Johnny Mnemonic. Det är väl han, det är typ Johnny, det är Keanu Reeves sämsta. Mm-hmm. Typ.
Yeah. Say what you want about Dolph Lundgren, but he kept working, man.
Yeah.
None of the movies received rave reviews, but this isn't really the type, he's not making the type of movies for critics.
No.
Studios just kept making the movies, so Dolph kept taking them, kept acting.
Of course.
1995 will be his last film to release in theaters until 2010.
The Expendables.
Right. It's but between this and The Expendables, it's time for straight to DVD.
Oh, yeah.
When movies are at their best.
Oh, yeah.
1996 to 2004 saw Dolph crank out action movie after action movie. Yeah. I didn't know about this. He was in at least 8 movies that mostly featured him as ex-military guy out for revenge after being double-crossed by a secret government conspiracy, but they don't know who they're messing with.
Oh, nej.
Movie after movie like that. I don't want to read through all the plots.
Kan jag använda samma manus som förra filmen? Yeah, you're good. Okay, good.
Okay, instead of a Navy SEAL, can he be a Marine?
Yes. Are you sure?
Okay, next movie. Army Ranger?
Yes.
They can they not know who they're messing with?
Good idea. Think I heard that somewhere before.
No, they don't know who they're fucking with.
Oh.
That's what you've heard before.
Yes.
But in this one, they don't know who they're messing with.
Oh, so this is PG-13
yes,
then?
Yes, it's for kids. It's for kids. There's only going to be one beheading. We're talking to the ratings people about that.
I know how to do that. If he dies, he might live.
In 2004, so this saw Dolph change over to the director's chair.
Ja, men nu kommer väl... Är det Million Dollar Baby? Nej, är det The Departed? Nej, vänta, vilken är det? Åh, oh, det är någon, det är någon har fått Oscar för.
The director Sidney J. Fury got sick in pre-production of the movie The Defender, a movie about the bodyguard for the head of the NSA that needs to protect the man that protects the nation in the war on terror.
The terror who doesn't know who it's fucking with.
He directed and starred in this one. Then he got the director's bug. He directed three of his next five straight-to-DVD movies. The Mechanic, which actually got good reviews, as an action movie that gives us what we want. Missionary Man was Dolph's version of an old Western, the type of film that he always wanted to make.
Okay. But
except instead of motorcycles, I mean, he used motorcycles instead of horses.
Ah.
Because he said it was cheaper and... less time consuming because he got shit to do. So he was like, all right, instead of bringing all the horses in, let's just make it a biker gang and then we just fight the bikers.
Jag har massa motorcyklar, nu kör vi.
And this film made it into the Dallas Film Festival. I had never heard of it before this article, so it's not like this.
Dallas Film Festival.
In 2009, the Dolph Lundgren Scholarship was instituted in Dolph's name, which is awarded to the student with the best grades at Ådalsskolan in Kramfors.
Oj.
The school where he himself studied.
Uh-huh.
Lundgren then reunited with Jean-Claude Van Damme in Universal Soldier Regeneration.
Yeah!
Where he plays his old character, Andrew Scott's clone. The film was released theatrically in the Middle East, so now he's back.
In the Middle East?
Yeah, and Southeast Asia, and directly to video in the United States and other parts of the world. Since its release, the film has received better than average reviews for a straight-to-DVD release.
Now we're talking.
For a straight-to-DVD franchise sequel. Film critic Brian Orndorff gave the film a B, calling it moody, pleasingly quick draw, and knows when to quit.
Ja, de vet ju när de ska lägga av i alla fall, det är bra.
And it makes the Universal Soldier brand name bizarrely vital once again.
Mm-hmm.
Dread Central gave it 3 out of 5 knives, saying there's almost nothing but solid B-level action.
Så har du 3 av 5 knivar.
Yes.
I give it 3 sharp knives. Yeah, sharp. Yeah.
Oh, sharp knives. Can I, 2 butter knives and 1 steak knife?
This one gets 3 Japanese chef's knives.
The 2010s saw a sort of resurgence for Dolph. He hosted Eurovision in that decade.
Oh, you're done. Okay.
Yeah. He acted in movies with theatrical releases again.
All the Expendables.
In the U.S., like the Expendables franchise.
Yeah.
He has had cameos on popular TV shows and films.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Creed 2.
Ah, just det.
As an older version of Ivan Drago, whose son is going to fight Creed's son.
Oh, my God.
Have you seen it?
No. Oh. Jag har sett första Creed. Men jag började kolla på andra Creed, men sen tog jag inte igenom den. Men jag tror jag ska se den.
We should watch it together.
Yeah.
Because I started and didn't finish it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cool.
But from what I saw, he did a good job. The part I saw,
he
was like, you know, the beaten down old man, and they make you feel a little. They dig deeper into the character.
Yeah, place himself basically.
He lives in both L.A. and Stockholm.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do his story without telling you this crazy story that happened to him.
Go.
In early May 2009, so not too long ago, 3 masked burglars reportedly broke into Lundgren's Marbella home.
Mm-hmm.
The burglars tied up and threatened his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were going around the house, and they found a family photo and realized it's fucking Dolph Lundgren. and they ran off.
Oh, shit.
He later stated that he believed the intruders to be Eastern European, and he had asked contacts in Bulgaria to investigate the situation.
Oh, so he's Liam Neeson in Taken now.
I have a particular set of skills.
I've studied drama.
I have a very particular...
My set of skills is fantastic. I've studied drama, and also...
I know karate.
I know karate.
Karate.
And I've been in a Bond movie.
So
don't mess with me. I will find you.
Mm-hmm. Imagine now you look around this house and you see a photo of fucking Ivan Drago.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to start leaving photos of Ivan Drago around my apartment.
Yeah. Eller hur? Bättre än en vakthund. Man kan ha typ någon sån att de kliver på någon bräda, så hör man bara så här, if he dies, he dies. They're like, shit, he's here.
He's here. He later stated, oh no, I said that part already. They didn't find out who did it, by the way.
Yeah, okay.
His Bulgarian contacts didn't work out.
No, because they were phony.
After the incident, Lundgren's elder daughter Ida suffered from PTSD. Understandable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And his wife was the most traumatized from it. And then they divorced in 2011.
Nay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shit. Tuft.
He had some relationships after that, that marriage. And then finally, in true Hollywood star fashion, he married Emma Krokdal. A Norwegian personal trainer that's 40 years younger than him.
Snyggt, fräscht, härligt, bra.
They got married this July.
Oh, really?
A few months ago.
But, jag tänkte att vi skulle gå in till musiken från Rocky 4. Hon bara, vad är det?
Damn. She was born, what, 10 years after Rocky?
That's crazy. Jesus.
2 months before that, this May, Dolph Lundgren revealed that he has battled kidney cancer since 2015.
Well, fam.
Yeah, I do hope he's able to beat it. He has persevered in his professional life with over 80 films under his belt.
Sure.
I said he's persevered. I didn't say...
Yeah, yeah. Well, you can call them films. That's fine.
80 projects under his belt.
Thank you.
So best of luck to you, Mr. Hans Dolph Lundgren. That's the story of the fascinating Hans Dolph Lundgren.
Clap, 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 my friend. Det där var fantastiskt.
Yeah,
att det tog sån tid också. Jag bara, Hans Lundgren. Och sen bara, wait a minute, karate and the States. Very nice.
Yeah, man.
Kul. Fortsätt att lyssna, och om ni inte är Patreon så bli Patreons, right?
Yeah, man. How could you not do this? Patreon.com/teachmesweden. And if you have ideas for episodes we could do, then send them in to teachmesweden@gmail.com. If it's for Eric, then put it in Swedish, or say it's for Eric.
Yeah.
If it's in English, or if it's for me, put it in English or Swedish or whatever. Just say that it's for me.
Yeah, yeah.
The ones that are in English, I always grab them.
Yeah.
So thank y'all so much, man.
Yeah.
We'll be back soon. And those of you that are Patreon subscribers, you get some extra treats.
Oh, like, yeah.
We're going to do right now, where we do a little extra stuff, man.
Yeah.
Shitty sketches.
Some slight, yeah, shitty sketches behind the scenes of the history,
yeah,
if you will.
Yeah. So we'll catch y'all later. It's been John the Rollins.
Och Erik Broström.
Teaching you Sweden.
Fred.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.